I want you to repeat after me. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
open my eyes,
open my eyes,
open my spiritual eyes,
open my spiritual eyes,
open my mind,
open
my spiritual mind,
my spiritual mind,
so that I can really hear,
so that I can really hear
through my spiritual ears,
what your Spirit is speaking
for this season in our lives.
Hallelujah.
I want to take you to John chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, go to John chapter 7. And I'm going to be using both the NIV and the Amplified, because there's a word here that sometimes we associate in a different way. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to awaken you to the times that we are living in. The times. Now, in John chapter 7, Jesus is preparing to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And so, the Feast of Tabernacles is the only Jewish feast that has not been completed in the church. Passover has been completed, where you come from death to life. And the next feast, which happens next week, that we celebrate the feast of the book of Acts, which is the birth of the church, Pentecost. But the last and the most awesome feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, where he will reside within each and every one of his saints. You say, well, how can he do that? Well, I'll remind you that he did not outflow from the Lord until the Lord Jesus himself had walked in obedience for 3 years. And I'm not going there. I'm just trying to give you an insight as to where we're living. Verse 37 says, on the last and greatest day of. On the last and greatest day is what I'm trying to let you see for the first time. If you add the rest of it, you're going to miss the point. Because there's a lot of scripture in the Old Testament that talks about, and then that day. And in that special day. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about the final day of the Lord. When we were with Paul Keith Davis a couple weeks ago, he was pointing out that we are living in a season of God that is so outstanding, so awesome, that it'll outshine the presence of the resurrection. You say, wait a minute. We are living in a day that will outshine the resurrection? Could it possibly be that we are a people being chosen for such a time that is going to be showing the church as a perfect bride unto the Lord? Spotless. You say, wait a minute, I can't get myself ready. I. It's not all about you. It's about him preparing you. So again, I tell you, on the last and greatest day of the feast, amplification. Now on the final and most important day. What? Most important day. Creation was done in how many days? No.
Six.
What was the greatest day? The greatest day was a day of rest. Here the Holy Spirit's been telling us, rest and I will. Well, the hardest thing for a man to do is to stop worrying. That's the hardest thing. It's a day of rest. You are going against the grain of all your natural understanding. You're going against all the natural understanding of your brain. You're setting aside all the knowledge you've ever gained. You're setting aside all the works you've ever learned. I'm getting a flashback because there was a season when I was at Grace Church. In order to supply for my needs, I would do side jobs. You got to remember, I was there for 20 years and I was making $35 a month for the first few years. Try living on $35 a month and tell me how well you do. Even if it was 30 years ago. So, whenever there was a phone call and somebody needed a carpet to be installed or floor to be done or whatever, I would do this. And I would make some extra money because I liked my bills paid on time. Really? One morning, the Holy Spirit said, "It's all done now. You're all done putting in carpeting. You're all done." Well, guess how many phone calls I got within a month? Anybody got a clue? And I said no. And my wife got upset. "How are we going to pay the bills, Kim?" Am I picking on my wife? No. Not picking on my wife. Not doing that at all. But I am trying to wake you up. I was trying my best to obey, and my adversary was in my own house. Your adversary could be right next to you. Reasonings. The reasonings of the mind have got to be released unto him. Because your problem is not that big that he can't handle it. A few weeks later, I used to live off the money that God had provided through the sale of my building. That's how we paid the bills.
That ran out.
Yeah, it ran out. No kidding. And guess what else? I had a CD that went from like 12% down to 6 or 5 or whatever the numbers were. And I said, "Lord, how am I going to pay the bills?" And the Lord said, "Rest." I got news for you. I didn't want to rest. And every time somebody would say something, and my mother would be a part of it as well, you say, "Oh, your mother's your friend." My mother knew the Holy Ghost, but she also knew the responsibility she built in me. So who was my other adversary? It wasn't my wife, it was my mother. "Well, Kim, when are you going to do this? You can make a few bucks." Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Are you hearing what I'm trying to get across to you? The hardest job to do is to rest.
Amen. I have a hard time.
Brrr. At one point, I got a telephone call from a teenager. "Kim, you've been on my heart." "Okay. Are you going to be in the office?" "Yeah." "I need to stop in for 5 minutes." "Okay." So the teenager came, gave me a hug, and then took his hand, put it in my hand, and he dropped in $500. And he ran away. And who do you think cried the most? Him or me?
You.
Me. That $500 paid for the carpet that I had given up. And the other little jobs that I could have done. And guess what? I heard more criticism from those around me than you could ever conceive. Because I was entering the greatest day. The day of rest. Look at your neighbor. Say, "I don't like it. Because it doesn't fit my flesh." You're kidding me, Kim? Why is he preparing us for the last and greatest day? Because you're going to have to rest at some point. Out of your own natural doings for yourself.
Oh, it's so hard. Tell me about it. I lived it.
And yet when I try to explain it, people look at me like I got square heads. Heads.
Yeah, square. I was square. Didn't make sense to me either. But I was definitely obedient, and I was going to walk in that obedience no matter what it cost.
And I used to argue.
And one time the Lord said, I don't need to have you defend me. But I wanted to because it was justifying my actions. Do you ever justify God?
Yeah.
Do you ever have, you know, a whole slew of things that you could make him be? He is so great. He is so great. He don't need your defense. He really doesn't need your defense. What he needs is you to have faith in his abilities rather than your own. And his abilities are greater.
Verse 37, Amplified. Now on the final and most important day. And I'm going to skip the part about the feast. Jesus stood forth and he cried in a loud voice. He stood.
So on that day, he will what?
Stand.
Stand. If you go to the book of Acts, there was a young man that tried to defend God. Anybody know his name?
Stephen.
He's going to defend God. He's a fabulous teenager. And they're going to stone him because he's now resting in God. And they killed him. Yeah, they stoned him to death. And in the midst of the stones, a vision came to this young man. Do you think he felt the stones?
No.
I don't believe he felt one of those stones. Because he saw the Lord stand.
Did you hear me,
yes.
Mary?
Yep.
Stand! When Jesus stands inside of you, you're not going to listen to the effects and the fruits of flesh. Who matter? Doesn't matter who they are. They could be your best friend. They're not God. Their intention is to give you the counsel of the flesh. Yes, their intention is to give you what you already know and what you've lived in. What am I saying to you? We are about to enter a day that is so awesome. It is so outstanding that all your natural knowledge is going to have to be set aside. And if God doesn't prepare you now, you won't be ready. If he doesn't prepare you now, you won't be ready. Look at your neighbor. Say, if he doesn't prepare me now, I won't be ready. If I miss this opportunity. Yeah. Fill in the blanks. Thank you. Okay. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He doesn't say, go and feed yourself at the well. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, I really believe that this day of Pentecost was an awesome day, but the Feast of Tabernacles will outshine it so much that you will not ever be able to conceive in your minds what God has prepared for you.
Does that sound like a scripture to you?
Yeah. You cannot conceive what he's prepared. Isaiah 60 says that we're going to shine. You won't need the light from the sun. When Jesus was on the mountain, what happened to him?
He shone.
The radiation from him was incredible.
You say, wait a minute, what are you implying? What am I implying is the day that you start shining, how are you going to handle the persecution then?
Put your Bibles down. Put them on the floor, put them on the seat, do something, but you got to get up. I want you to face one person. If you don't have somebody close, go find one. Face to face. Say, God is preparing me. And he's preparing you. Are you aware? There's a great day coming. A day so beyond me. So far above. This natural mind. It will be a day. Where God's Holy Ghost. Will radiate through me. And it'll scare the pants. Everybody. And they will persecute us. Are you getting ready to rest? And let the persecution come. But to also prepare. The love flow. That's going to come out of you. And out of me. To set the captives free. God's preparing our hands. Touch right now. Touch. Say, these hands are going to be used for the healing of the nations. God will use us as a team from heaven to set the captives free, to operate in a different way than the doctors do. We'll walk into hospitals. And they'll be set free. The people will be set free. Because of Christ in me. And the fullness of His Holy Ghost. Flowing out of me. Like a river. Like a living river. To bring life. To all who have needs. That's why I'm going through hell. And that's why you're going through hell. But together, we're coming to places that have been prepared by God to perfect us, to give us courage, and to rebuild us, and recreate us into the image that one said yes. That one that said yes is Jesus. And Jesus in me. And Jesus in you.
Is about to be exposed.
In this earth. Hallelujah.
In this earth.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's it.